Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time. We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what John taught about the test of truth. So let's turn in our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27 again together. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Now, in the last broadcast, I was going over the two reasons why truly born-again believers are not led astray by the false teaching of the Antichrists. Number one, true Christians accept and believe and acknowledge the faith. Number two, true Christians remain faithful. So we were looking at what John said about this, and I want to continue in that vein today by looking at verses 20, 21, and 27 again together. Verse 20 says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know." Verse 21 says, "I have not written unto you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth." And then verse 27 says, "As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him." Now, in verse 27, John is going over the fact that the anointing, which is the Spirit-given knowledge of divine truth, was received by the believers from God the Holy Spirit, who abides inside them. John teaches here that these believers possessed the truth. It resided in them permanently, and because of that, they had no need for the Gnostics or the Greek philosophers to teach them some new thing that would tickle their ears. Now, some people in the modern church read this verse, and then they come to the wrong conclusion that because they are saved, they have no need to sit under the authority of any man. And some even teach that they don't even need to go to church anymore. Of course, this view conveniently ignores all the other parts of Scripture that are equally inspired as this verse from John, which teach that all believers must humbly and graciously submit to the authority of the elders who have the charge to teach them and to guard their souls. So these people twist what John was saying here to believe that since they are born again and have the Spirit dwelling in them, that God will speak directly to them all truth. But that is not what John is teaching here at all. The problem with believing this is that God has already given all the direct revelation that he's ever going to give to man. And that revelation has been written down in the 66 books of the Holy Bible. And so John was not telling his first century audience that they didn't need pastors or teachers in the church, and neither was John saying that saved people don't need to be faithful in their attendance and participation in the church. John was simply saying that since these people were already saved, they didn't need heretics and other unsaved people to teach them anything, because they can have full faith and confidence that what they heard directly from the apostles in the beginning was true, and the Holy Spirit who dwells in them will lead them into understanding all of inspired Scripture. God the Holy Spirit moved upon Paul and others to write down special words that were God-breathed, which say that God has ordained ministries in the church precisely to teach and to propagate the gospel of God. God also said that being unfaithful in any way, with sin or with your lack of obedience or your lack of attendance in church, or even with your money, that being unfaithful in any way was being disloyal to God. Jude wrote in verse 3 of his epistle that the Christian faith was, quote, the common salvation, unquote. This means that Christianity was the same everywhere. So what was taught and believed at the church at Ephesus was also taught and believed by the church in Thyatira and Philadelphia and Corinth and Antioch and in Jerusalem. When Paul or John or other apostles heard about other churches, these men went to that church to bring to them the doctrines and beliefs that qualified them to be called followers of Jesus. Most of the New Testament writings are precisely that. Instruction manuals for the church on how to operate, what are the qualifications to lead, what to believe, and what to reject. People who were gloriously saved, both Jews and Gentiles, all brought with them their own preconceived ideas and prejudices and concepts of God and Jesus and salvation and heaven and hell. We all have those things. They had them 2,000 years ago, and we have them today. The problem is that most of our ideas and notions about these issues are wrong, and they don't line up with what God has revealed in Scripture. Therefore, they are not to be taught, they are not to be believed by those in the church, no matter how popular they might be or how logical they seem to appear. And it was John, Paul, James, and Peter's duty as apostles to seek out those areas of heresy, those churches which taught incorrectly about God or about Jesus or about salvation, and they either went to that church personally to fix them, or they wrote letters to that church which addressed the areas that needed correcting. And those letters are called epistles, and they are the teaching books of the Bible. Now, some say today, well, I don't need all that. I have a brain, and I'm saved, and God can show me whatever he wants me to have. And that kind of attitude is not indicative of a person who is free in Christ and unencumbered by legalistic rules and regulations, beloved. This is just an example of a spiritual renegade, a rebel, who refuses to be held accountable to the authority of Scripture and who does what is right in his own eyes, and it was living and operating in isolation to the Word of God. And I tell you, run from those people, because they're dangerous. John taught very clearly that Christianity, the Christian faith, was defined and articulated by the writings of the apostles. And any deviation from this, any attempt by anyone for any reason to alter or change or add to or take away from this God-given divine truth is heresy. And John also taught that the indwelling presence of God the Holy Spirit in every believer would teach them these things and keep them in the truth and guard their hearts and convict them and deal with them so that those in the church would be in one mind and one accord with Jesus Christ, who is the King. So John's point in these verses was that genuine believers must not rely on human wisdom and man-centered philosophy and man-made religion. Look at what the Apostle Paul said about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through chapter 2, verse 8. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who were called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in much weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age had understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. John said that we as believers must rely on the teaching of God's word by Spirit-gifted human teachers who do not preach for vainglory, but who preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we must rely on the glorious, miraculous, illuminating work of God the Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds so that we may understand what these gifted teachers taught. So don't let anybody ever tell you, dear friends, that we don't need teachers or pastors or elders or deacons in the church. We do. This verse here in John has nothing to do with that. This verse was telling saved people that they don't need to go to the lost and pagan world to learn about the things of God, but that they can learn from gifted teachers and they can learn from gifted men who are called by God and set in place and who are theologically sound and who are godly men of moral, high moral character, and that we can learn the things of God that we need to from them. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.gospelcoast.com. covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.